All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gonna throw you a change-up. You ready?
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking, presented by Betway. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. 19 plus, please play responsibly.
If you've been even a casual listener of Frankly Speaking, you know this is a hockey podcast, a one-on-one interview series with some of the biggest names in the hockey world. But I wanted to do something a little bit different this week. I'm thrilled to be joined by Philadelphia Phillies manager Rob Thompson, who in 2022 became the first Canadian to be named manager of a major league club in nearly 90 years.
You don't know it already. First Canadian-born manager ever to lead a team into the World Series.
With the Stanley Cup playoffs upon us, figured this was the perfect time to be joined by a dyed-in-the-wool Toronto Maple Leafs fan, an avid hockey follower. This is a special pod for me. I'm a lifelong Philadelphian and huge Phillies fan. I started my career doing a bit of everything, and being a fan of another team was taboo as a journalist, but it's actually Thompson's 2022 Phillies that brought back out the fan in me. Since then, I've always wanted to ask Rob about his Canadian roots, his hockey interests, and his path to the big leagues. So, how does someone from southwestern Ontario end up in the major leagues? It's barely a speck on a map, but Thompson hails from Sebringville, Ontario, which is wedged almost equidistant between Kitchener and London. He was born in Sarnia, grew up in Corunna, in a baseball-loving family where his older brother was drafted by the Montreal Expos. Thompson earned a baseball scholarship at the University of Kansas and represented Canada in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, back when baseball was still a demonstration sport in the Summer Games. The next summer, Thompson was selected by the Detroit Tigers, just down the St. Clair River from Sarnia, in the 32nd round of the 1985 amateur draft. He played 3 years of A-ball in the Tigers system before transitioning to a career in coaching. Thompson was hired by the New York Yankees in 1990 and held various jobs in the organization for 28 years.
Robbie Thompson is managing tonight, and he's actually filled in for Joe 3 times before. That was back in 2008.
Do you think he'd make a good manager for the Yanks?
He'd be awesome. I love Rob Thompson as a person. I love him as a baseball guy. He bleeds Yankee blue in the pitch.
He worked across their minor league system, including director of player development and VP of minor league development, before being added to the major league staff. Yes, like any good hockey guy, Thompson has a nickname. It was in New York working for Joe Torre that he earned the moniker Topper, because he was always on top of everything. As Joe Torre explained, quote, "He lived at the ballpark. He was there all the time. I'd get to the park in spring training by 6:45 and Thompson was already there finishing his work. He had it mapped out and ready on my desk to look at, and he was a stickler for position. We thought we were doing good, and all of a sudden he was there longer and stayed longer after we left." Legendary Yankees owner George Steinbrenner loved the nickname, and Thompson became a favorite of the boss.
"You wanted to see me, Mr. Steinbrenner?"
Torre tried to bring Thompson to the Dodgers with him, but Topper was promoted to bench coach in 2008 under Joe Girardi and helped the Yanks capture their 27th and most recent World Series title in 2009.
Second baseman Cano. The Yankees are back on top. World champions for the 27th time.
When it came time for the Yankees to choose their next manager in 2018, Thompson threw his hat in the ring, but the club decided to go in another direction. That brought him to Philadelphia as bench coach under Gabe Kapler, where, as fate would have it, Girardi replaced Kapler and reunited the two. In 2022, Thompson was contemplating retirement and his last season after four decades in baseball when the Phillies got off to a slow start and his close friend Girardi was fired on June 1.
"I think we needed a different voice in the clubhouse, with the players, with the staff members, and I think that Topper provides that."
On the day Thompson was named interim manager, the Phillies were 21-29 and already 12.5 games back of the New York Mets. By the All-Star break, Thompson had turned them around to 49-43, and they were on their way. Just happy to break an 11-year playoff drought, Thompson's Phillies entered the postseason as a wild card and with little by way of expectations. But they cruised through the playoffs with big upsets over the Cardinals and Braves, then knocked off the Padres in 5 games to win the National League pennant and advance to the World Series. Along the way, as Citizens Bank Park became the most feared park in baseball, Philadelphia fell in love with Topper, who you'll hear for yourself is Canadian, humble, and really mild-mannered.
"The Rob Thompson that you guys see is intense. The Rob Thompson that we see in the clubhouse is an awesome guy that can hang out and can joke around."
When the Phillies clinched a playoff berth in 2022, Bryce Harper was spotted on the field in a t-shirt that said, "I ride with Philly Rob," and Thompson's face was right in the middle of it. That became a thing, with Phillies family members spotted wearing that shirt at World Series games. Now on the ride of his life, Thompson knew he couldn't walk away from the game, signing contract extensions to remain Phillies manager through 2025. His Phillies made it back to the NLCS last year, where they stumbled against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but hopes are high this season and the Phillies are off to their best start in 5 years. Today we'll chat with Rob about growing up a hockey player, remaining true to yourself, trusting your instincts, setting principles as a manager, and enjoying the moment. With the Stanley Cup playoffs underway, here's my conversation with Leafs fan and proud Canadian, Philadelphia Phillies manager Rob Thompson. Rob Thompson, if life worked out like you thought it might in 2022 and you decided to retire after the season, what are the odds that at some point you might have found your way maybe to a Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game this week in downtown Toronto?
Oh, I'd probably be there. Although, the traffic in Toronto isn't great. So a lot of times I like sitting on my couch and having a cold beer and just watching the game. But it's pretty exciting up there right now, being a Leaf fan. And but they got a tough task here with the Bruins. Bruins are good. You know, they're gritty. And although Toronto's really skilled, they need to show up.
Have you had a chance to see much hockey in action? I mean, the seasons, especially playoff-wise, you've, for the last 40-some Aprils, you've been knee-deep in baseball. Really no chance to get to some Stanley Cup playoff action.
I was really hoping I was disappointed the Flyers didn't make it. Now, we watched the game last night after we were done. What a great season they had. You know, really overachieved and a really fun team to watch. Yeah, I haven't really been able to follow hockey very much. You know, we're so involved with the baseball on its daily basis and advanced scouting and then game time. And, you know, so there's a lot going on in April, and so it's tough to follow it.
We'll get into your path. Born in Sarnia, and you made a name for yourself playing for the Stratford Hillers.
Yeah.
Does this mean that you're the only major league manager that would be able to tell me who the Stratford Streak is?
Oh, geez, probably. Howie Morantz.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like most Canadians, did you play hockey as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I started, 5 years old. At that time, that's when the league started. And I played till I was like 16 or 17. I was a stay-at-home defenseman, not a whole lot of skill, but I was pretty good at staying there and clearing out the front of the net and going in the corners and banging. But I'm not the best skater on the team, not the best shooter on the team, but I was decent at defending the net.
What drew you to baseball?
Probably my father and my brothers. I have two older brothers. One's 13 years older than I am. One's 10 years older than I am. So I was always the bat boy for them when they were kids. And my father was a coach and very intelligent baseball man. And I just fell in love with it. I loved hockey in the winter. And I loved baseball in the summer. And everybody'd say, oh, what's your favorite sport? Well, depends on what time of year it is.
When you talk about the Leafs, give me like your vintage of team. Like, were you, I guess, a little bit too young for the 67 team?
Well, yeah, I would have been 4 years old then, but I've been fortunate because I have a mutual friend of Davey Keon. And so I've got to meet Davey, and he was my favorite player growing up. And then the Sittler era came in, Boris Salming and those guys. And then the Dougie Gilmore era came in. And I've been watching them for a long time and continue to watch them. Like, they're a fun team to watch because, like I said, they're so skilled and so fast. And Matthews and Marner, Nylander. I mean, they're just great players.
One of my favorite things about talking to Canadians is obviously there's always someone nearby that you knew growing up that somehow made it to the NHL. In the U.S. here, it's so rare. Did you have anyone from your town or area that made it?
Yeah, Paul Isabart played in Moortown. I was born in Sarnia. I grew up in Corunna, Ontario, which is just a little town outside of Sarnia. Our hockey arena was actually in Moortown, which is even a smaller town than Corunna. Paul lived in the area, and he played. He was a little bit younger than I was, but he ended up going to the NHL.
And then did you have anyone kind of cross paths with you since you've been in baseball that, you know, you make connections? Obviously now in Philly, you know, probably get a chance to meet John Tortorella and others. What's the connection like between baseball and hockey? I'm sure there's lots of mutual fans.
Yeah, there is. And although I haven't met Torch yet face to face, but we've texted back and forth, and I'm going to text him today and congratulate him on a really great year. I know they had that run of that losing streak. If you take the season as a whole, I think they really overachieved and they did a great job. But I do want to play golf with them at some point during one of our off days this year.
Has there been a lot of support between the coaching staffs in the town, like between Eagles and Phillies and Flyers and Sixers?
No doubt. I think everybody in this town, the coaches really support each other and support all the teams. And I mean, we're in a really fascinating time here in Philadelphia because all the sports teams are really good and playoff contenders. And it's really kind of a special time.
So let's talk about your path and how you made it to Philadelphia. You drafted by the Tigers in 85. You play in their minor league system for a couple years. How did you get the itch to coach?
Probably because I wasn't good enough to play. But the Tigers at that time in the minor league system, this is, late 80s. I was drafted in 85. I started coaching 88, 89. At that time, there was just a manager. There wasn't even a pitching coach. There wasn't a hitting coach. It was a manager. He did everything. And the Tigers had a manager in A-ball by the name of Johnny Lippon, who was getting older in years and he needed help throwing batting practice and hitting fungos and things like that. And so I think probably the Tigers were going to release me at some point, but they offered me a coaching job and to help Lip out. And I did. I loved it. I just got married, talked to my wife, and I said, what do you think? And she said, you got to trust your instincts and do whatever you think you need to do. So I did. And I spent 2 years in the minor leagues coaching for the Tigers. And then I ended up going to the Yankees. And I spent 28 years there. And in 18, I think it was, I came here. First year here as a bench coach for Gabe Kapler. And I've been here ever since. And I absolutely love it here.
So when you are working your way through the Yankee system, you know, obviously go through the different minor league levels and you were all over the map in terms of where you were based sometimes year to year. Then you become director of player development. You know, you then are essentially helping organize all the different teams in the minor league system to then make the jump to the majors. Your idea or what brought you to the majors?
Well, Joe Torre, when I was running the minor league spring training camps, I'd also run the major league camp. Joe Torre one year asked me if I'd like to come to New York and just sort of be a major league field coordinator. Again, talked to my wife, talked to my bosses with the Yankees, and everybody was all in. So that's what I did. And Joe ended up going to LA to manage the Dodgers. And Joe Girardi came in and he offered me the bench coach job. And that's how it all got started. And, you know, I was with Joe for a long time. Ended up Joe getting fired. The Phillies offered me the job here as bench coach. And so I took it. I'm really glad I did because I really love this town and the fan base and the organization, how they treat people. It's really a great place to be.
What does that say about following your gut and your instincts? I mean, the spots that it's taken you and maybe some paths that you probably also didn't expect at the same time is just intuition? Is it right place, right time, preparation? What is it?
I'll say this. I'm an extremely hard worker, and I always have been. But you have to get some breaks along the way, and you have to be in the right place at the right time as well. And I've been very fortunate to work with great people all the way through. I've learned so much from so many people. It's just amazing. And, you know, just like this job, I fall into this job. We got this really good team. We got off to a bad start. Unfortunately, Joe Girardi gets fired. Then we just take off. I kind of pinch myself every day because throughout my career, it's just been one thing after another. It seems it's just gone my way, being in the right place at the right time, meeting the right people at the right time, and things have just worked out.
Even what brings you to Philadelphia, you spend 28 years in the Yankees organization. I read the reports at the time, you know, you'd interviewed for the manager position, you didn't get it, and you decided to leave. I'm sure even walking away from New York was probably a tough decision for you.
It really was. And I always felt like I was going to retire a Yankee. I'd invested so much there. But now I'm positive I'm going to retire a Philly one way or the other. I think once this gig is over, in whatever way it ends, this will be it. Because I don't think I can replicate the fun and the people that I get to work with every day like I do here.
I'm glad you mentioned fun because I watch your Phillies team really closely, and actually, what drew me to them in 2022 was that it seemed like no one has more fun than them. You know, we hear all the time in sports, culture is such a big buzzword, but it seems like your players just have a chemistry that they want to play for each other. That's what it comes across to me as a fan watching. What's it like watching it up close?
That's all it is. It's just fun. I mean, these guys come in here, they're here early. So I have like some pillars that I want them to do: prepare, compete, be professional, be selfless in every way, and be yourself. So have fun. If we do those five things, we have enough talent to do whatever we can, reach all of our goals, reach the highest level. And that's what they do. They come in here and they prepare and they have a lot of fun and they go out and they compete and they have fun doing it. And they play for each other. They love each other. And I couldn't have a better group.
Obviously, the first time I've had a chance to chat with you, and you mentioned, you know, be yourself. Have you changed at all along the way in your 40 years in baseball? You kind of strike me as a guy that, hey, I am what I am, you know, take it or leave it. Have things for you personality wise, have you changed, or are you true to yourself?
I'm pretty true to myself, but I think everybody adapts over time, and I've changed some of my ways. Like, you know, when I was a young coach, it was work, 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 work. We're going to take batting practice every day. We're going to take infield, outfield every day. We're going to get here early. And now I've learned over the years that sometimes you got to back off and give people some rest and let them recover. And, you know, so little things like that. But as far as who I am, I think I'm pretty true to myself.
And how much has the game changed?
Oh, quite a bit. I mean, you know, I think the players are just like hockey. I think there's so much more skill in the game today, just raw tools. Players come through the system a lot quicker nowadays. So we're still teaching the game at times up here, how to play it, how to execute, how to move a runner over, little things like that, little detailed things. But they're highly skilled, more skilled than ever. Also with the new rules and things like that. So the game has changed over time. And the analytics part of it, the game has changed a great deal since I started.
You mentioned sometimes as a manager, taking your foot off the pedal a bit to maybe give guys an extra day of rest or whatever it might be. When talking to NHL coaches, one of the big things that pops up is almost half their job, it feels like at times, is amateur psychologist. in terms of the mental aspect of the game, whether it's engaging in conversation, getting to know guys, how much do you feel like that part of it is a strength for you and how you deal with players and communicate?
Yeah, I think it is a strength because it's a huge part of this thing, you know, to make sure that people are confident. One of my goals every day is that every player, and it's impossible, but every player leaves this building, goes home, and they feel good about themselves, about what they accomplished every day. Now, that's impossible. So the guys that don't do that, it's the coaching staff. It's our mental skills people. It's myself making sure that when they show up the next day that they have a good mindset and they're ready to go and prepare and compete and go out and play. So, yeah, it's a huge part of it. Between myself and our staff, I think we do a really good job at that.
Expectations are something that, you know, working in New York, you're used to and dealt with. This Phillies team having gotten to the World Series and then last year, really tough series against Arizona, that mental mindset, how did you manage that going into the offseason last year?
I think you have to clear your mind and really look at it from the standpoint of, okay, what do we need to do to get better? And one of the things that I talked about was getting off to a little bit better start so that we really don't have to push it at the end to get in. And we've done that. Always want to get off to a little better start. Our record is better than it's been since I've been here anyway at this point in the year. But I think you really have to clear your mind and think about it in a very reasonable way and make sure that guys are motivated when they come into camp. And our guys were really motivated this year. They want that ring, and not only this year, but for years to come too. And I think this is a sustainable thing that we've got going here because we've got good players here now that are under contract for years. We've got a minor league system that is really growing and getting better. And we have an owner that wants to win and he's willing to spend money to do it. He's not silly with his money, but he's willing to do whatever he needs to do to make sure that we have success. And if when you have that, I think you've got something that's sustainable.
You mentioned the spending, and you know, I can't help but think of all the talent that's in your clubhouse and just the drive that seems to emanate from them. Like, how much does that start with Bryce Harper and what he brings?
Yeah, I mean, Harp is a very motivated guy. He's a very intense guy. He gets frustrated a lot because he's a perfectionist. And I think that bleeds into other people. And I think it shows. And we have a lot of guys in this clubhouse that have great leadership skills. Kyle Schwarber and JT, and you can go up and down. And not only do we have fun, but we have really motivated people and accountable people that will hold each other accountable at times too.
Accountability, sometimes the next part of that is sharing best practices, going back to hockey for a second. Do you trade notes with anyone in other sports? Maybe not hockey, but football or wherever else?
Not really, because I really haven't had the opportunity to sit down with, because we have our season, and by the time we're done, somebody else is in their season. So I haven't really had much time to sit down with other people and talk about it. But I do talk to other baseball coaches and baseball managers, because I know a lot of them now. A few of them have played for me in the minor leagues and worked with me in New York. So we sort of throw ideas at each other and talk about situations and break it down, and it's good communication.
So Rob Thompson, baseball lifer, Canadian Baseball Hall of Famer. You mentioned golf off camera to start. What do you do for an outlet? What do you do for fun?
I relax, but I do like to play golf. My wife and I play tennis every once in a while and pickleball and things like that. You know, really, I don't have much time to do anything because even in the off season, I'm traveling, whether we're signing free agents or going to the winter meetings and things like that. I come into Philadelphia to do things around the city at times, so don't really have a whole lot of time to do much, but if I get a chance, I really like to golf and play tennis.
You mentioned pinch yourself. Was there a pinch yourself moment when you get to the World Series in 2022 and there's fans in Citizens Bank Park wearing shirts that say, "We ride with Philly Rob"?
Yeah, that's a little embarrassing to tell you the truth, but I try to stay humble. My wife does a good job keeping me humble, I can tell you that.
But did she buy a shirt?
Yeah, she did, too. Yeah.
Perfect. Rob, is there anything we can do to get a Toronto Maple Leaf score on the out-of-town scoreboard in right field for the playoffs this week?
Jeez, I don't know. I'd have to probably pay for that. I probably can't afford it.
You might know someone. Rob Thompson, such a pleasure to chat with you. Really appreciate getting your insight and learning about your career and to spend a few minutes with you. Best of luck this season, and I hope your team achieves all of its goals.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
big thank you to Rob Thompson for his time during a busy major league season. Special thank you to Phillies Vice President of Communications, Kevin Gregg, for arranging the interview. And I'd be remiss to not mention my pal and former roommate, Matt Gelb, who's a star on the Phillies beat for The Athletic. Matt and I shared a South Philadelphia townhouse in 2010 as we were just starting out our careers. And I'm forever grateful for Matt's friendship. On top of being an excellent reporter, he's a great man and he's the best roommate ever. I covered the Flyers, he covered the Phillies, and both of us were almost never home at the same time on the road in opposite seasons chasing our teams around the continent. Really enjoyed my chat with Rob. If you couldn't tell, I was actually geeking out a little bit. I don't really get nervous to talk to people around sports, but this was different. And I've especially enjoyed watching from afar, no matter how big the moment, whether he's making a critical bench move or pitching change, or he's getting sprayed with champagne on the way to the World Series. Thompson always seems to be the same even-keeled guy. I know that's a cliche in today's sports world, but for him, I think that's true. He's also proof that hard work is a skill, and that can carry you to the top. All the best to the Phillies this season. You can bet I'll be cheering them on. That'll do it for this special edition of Frankly Speaking. I'll leave you with Chronic Sunshine from Cosmo Pike.
Because I've had enough of all this controversy. I've been affected and I can't lie. That shit, quite frankly, bothers me. She said, you're the man. I'm on together and I'm having doubts. We won't hurt you or all your plans. Paraphernalia and contraband. I wasn't allowed to, I was proud to come. Tons of germs and fuckeries in my life.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.